Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Lou Ann Crane.
Welcome once again to Family Talk, where we're continuing a fascinating discussion that began yesterday with one of the most beloved recording artists, literally of all time.
Ryan, the whole staff was really tickled to be able to visit with him. And Doctor, I hope our listeners feel the same way.
Well, Ryan, Lou Ann, as you well know, we had Pat Boone on the radio with us yesterday, and he's back with us today. Pat, I'm delighted to have you here.
I'm glad to be with you face to face. We talked once at some length on the phone.
Yeah.
We did a long distance appearance on your show, but I much prefer to be here with you because I don't say this just because I'm here, but you have been a great champion to me, my family, because growing my family in Hollywood, in that environment, when I heard that there was a book called Dare to Discipline, which, you know, my folks did. My folks dared to discipline me, and I've been forever thankful for it. And I dared to discipline my four daughters, not harshly, but the way those girls turned out, I've often thanked you. You didn't know it. But for the influence you have been on families and helping me bolster what I call Tennessee standards that we were employing in Beverly Hills and in Hollywood, California.
Well, I appreciate that. I can tell you that you and I have crossed paths in a lot of ways through the years, but the one I remember the most was January 20th, 1981. And you sang at one of the inaugural balls for Ronald Reagan that night.
Yeah.
I was not only in the crowd, but I was, because of some foolishness of mine, I was right at the front looking straight up at you. Do you remember that
night? Of course, yeah.
And that was such an exciting time.
And
the
he
new
had been
beginning.
Such a friend. Our kids went to school together, Nancy and Ron Reagan, before
really?
He was governor. He was just doing Death Valley Days on TV, and people considered he was somewhat of a B actor, washed, you know, his career finished. He was respected. He'd been president of the Screen Actors Guild, but, you know, he wasn't really making films. And Ron and Nancy's kids, Ron Jr. and Patty, were in school with our kids, which, you know, he and Nancy were 20, 25 years older than Shirley and me, but they had their kids at the very tail end of their ability to have kids. Shirley and I had rushed it, married at 19 and having four kids when I graduated from college at 23.
You're about to be a great grandfather.
Great granddaddy.
That couldn't be, Pat. It couldn't be.
Well, that's you know, it takes some getting used to, but to think that my baby daughter, Laurie, is going to be a grandmother. That's even harder to assimilate.
For perhaps a half of 1% of the people listening to us who do not know about you and your career, let me just kind of summarize it. Pat Boone was an incredibly popular singer during the 1950s and 1960s and after to this day. In its entirety, he's sold over 45 million albums in his lifetime and has had 38 top 40 hits. There aren't very many people that can say that. He starred in more than 12 movies and continues to entertain and perform to this day. He's written a number of books as well over the years and is a member of the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. And on it goes. He's married to...
And that's it for today.
He's married to Shirley and has been for 57 years. You got us there a little bit. And they have four grown daughters and 15 grandchildren and more to come. Lou Ann and Ryan, I didn't give you guys a chance to talk much in the last program. And I'm gonna do a risky thing. I'm just turning it to you. Lou Ann, ask the first question of our guests.
Thanks for the challenge. Mr. Boone, last time you mentioned how you really began your singing career in church.
Yeah.
And I know even today there's a lot of pop culture stars who still today got their start in church, singing in the choir. And yet you maintained those values. Mm. And I can't tell you how much it breaks the heart for parents like me to see these young stars grow up in church and you think they're providing a role model for your children and then they just abandon all of those values.
Yeah, my folks had been very leery of my fantasies about being a singer. I auditioned for Horace Height who was a talent. You know, he introduced young talent, and they had a contest. And if you won that show, you toured with him. Well, my folks said, what's the point of you going on auditioning? If you got on the show, you're not going anywhere.
How old were you?
I was in my teens. And so I did audition, but I didn't get on. Ted Mack, same kind of thing, came through, auditioned in Nashville. I didn't get on. But I did win a talent contest in Nashville. The first prize was a trip to New York and another audition with Ted Mack. And I did go to New York. I did sing. Audition, got on, won three times in a row. That didn't lead to any touring. In fact, it didn't lead to anything that I could see, except I came to the attention of Randy Wood of Dot Records, a little aggressive record company outside Nashville. And he asked me to come meet with him when I was on my way back to North Texas State to resume my college career headed toward being a teacher preacher. And he said, you know, you did a good job on TV, and if you want, he said, well, I'll look for a song. I'll call you out there in Denton, and we'll see if we can make a hit record. I said, fine. But 8 months went by, and nothing happened. And I thought, well, he's forgotten all about that.
And you were still singing in churches, though.
In church, and yeah. And I was now preaching in a little country church on Sundays.
Did you think you were called to preach?
Well, I didn't know if I was called. I just tried to figure out what I could do that would benefit young people with my life. I wanted my life to count for something good. I knew if I was a teacher in school, like my role models, a Christian teacher and a preacher on Sundays and maybe, you know, trying to fill a pulpit and those responsibilities, that that would be the most worthwhile way I could spend my life. And my wife Shirley was all for it. She was the daughter of Red Foley, great Hall of Fame country singer, Red Foley. And she'd had enough of show business. She'd seen what a tough life that can be. And so she loved the idea of being the wife of a school teacher preacher with a sort of a normal life, picket fence, three or four kids, vacation in the summertime, preaching on Sunday, sure. And we were expecting our first child already soon after we got to Denton, Texas. And we'd drive out to that church 30 miles out of Denton on a Sunday morning, and I had my sermon ready. And I remember saying, you know, they gave me the collection for preaching, which I didn't expect. It was a surprise the first time. It was about $11. And I had put in $5. I was tithing on the $50 that I got for my TV shows in Fort Worth. And so I knew $5 of that $11 I had put in. So now I'm coming out to preach one Sunday morning. And I said, honey, this is better than an $11 sermon I'm going to preach today. This is a $15 sermon if I've ever heard one. So I'd put in $10. Because I knew I was only going to get 15 if I put in 10. And that's the way it worked out. But, you know, as funny as that sounds, I was giving to God my time and resource, even in that small little funny way. Within a year after that, I was in New York appearing on the Godfrey Show regularly, having hit records, making more money than I knew what to do with. And I related the two things. I saw a connection between being faithful with little out in Denton, Texas, with the huge, amazing success that I was having, that I knew wasn't because I was a great singer. It was because God was blessing me.
You downplayed that, Pat, but that's not fair. Well, you really were.
I mean, I know
good at what you did.
I got good at it, but I don't read music. I don't play an instrument. But I love it, and that was my dream. And God let me have the dream of my heart. But I had also let him know that I was going to try to use that for him. Did I even answer your question?
Well, I'm just saddened to see how quickly people are throwing that away.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of that is the pressures of the culture, but you had your own pressures.
Plenty of pressures and plenty of influences against living Christian life in the entertainment business. I was just with Doug Pitt yesterday. He's the brother of Brad Pitt. They were raised in a Christian home in Missouri. And Brad has been on with Bill Maher recently saying that he's an atheist. Raised in a Christian home. He has humanitarian instincts like down in New Orleans. But to hear him say to Bill Maher, you and I are both atheists, Bill. We're on the same road to hell. And I've talked about that with Doug, and he just shakes his head. Yeah, it's a real deep sadness in the family. But that happens to so many in that crazy world because you go out, if you're not going to church regularly, and thank God we did, Shirley and I, we were always in church, no matter what was going on in the career in New York or L.A., Hollywood, wherever, we were always in church, and that was a constant, repeated reminder of what the real things are. And, of course, being married to a good woman and having kids that you want to grow up to be good kids, all these things were anchors for me. So my commitment to the Lord was real, but, boy, he gave me lots of help with a wife and kids and family, which is why I so admire Jim Dobson.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, though, for aspiring pop stars and aspiring singers and actors is it can be done. It's not going to be easy, but really nothing in life is easy. It's not easy for any high schooler
today.
Nothing
worthwhile. Yeah.
That's right. It's not easy for any high schooler or anybody coming up today to remain pure and to have Christian values and to follow the edicts of the Bible.
Yeah.
It can be done. I think what saddens me, Luann, is so many of these young pop stars have parents who are involved, who are seemingly grounded people, and they too, for who knows what, money, fame, exposure, send their children.
Yeah, they're pushing them into it.
Sure. There is a devil at work, you know. That's not, you know, a lot of folks don't want to talk about the devil. But if you talk about Jesus, you talk about God, you talk about, you must accept Jesus met him face to face and was tempted by the devil who threw his strongest temptations at Jesus, and he answered him with Scripture. And that devil is still at work today in our society, and he's winning the battle with so many homes. I want to tell you an intimate little story, if I might. I normally, you know, wouldn't talk about this publicly, but she won't mind, and in fact, my daughters won't mind. But I raised four daughters. Now, my little daughter, Laurie, at the time, 14, 15 years old, in a Catholic girls' school, she was on the volleyball team. We'd had dinner. It was in the late spring, still daylight. She says, "Daddy, can we go out and hit the ball some over the net?" I said, "Sure." So I'm out with my daughter, Laurie. We're batting the volleyball over the net. And while we're doing that, she just out of the blue, she says, "Daddy, you know, I think my friend Susie and I are the only virgins left in class." And I tried to keep batting the ball. I think I missed the ball at that first time. I'm trying to.
15
yeah. And I said, "How do you know that?" She said, "Well, we talk about everything everybody does, and some of the girls go home with guys after school, and some of them from broken homes, and they have boys over in the afternoon at their homes, and they all brag about it or talk about it, and we think we're the only two left." I said, "How does that make you feel?" She said, "Well, kind of special." And I said, "Honey, you are. You are very special." Then she went ahead. She says, "Is there any reason we believe the Bible and what God says, but my friends don't?" Now, this is a Catholic school. And she says, "What, is there any reasons apart from what God says in the Bible not to have sex outside of marriage?" I was really on the spot then, but I said, "Yes, there are." I said, "First of all, girls get pregnant. And they don't mean to get pregnant, but they do. Boys don't get pregnant." And I said, "So there's that big reason not to participate. There's the spreading of disease, some things we don't even know too much about. We've learned more about since." But I said, "Honey, the sex is meant to hold two married people together and to create families. And if you squander that while you're dating and you have some guilty pleasure, after you get married, I can tell you that, you know, the glue will wear thin. And you'll be thinking about that fun you thought you had and you got away with back then. And maybe you don't think your husband's treating you right or your wife. And so you think you'll slip back and have some of that forbidden pleasure you had then. And it'll ruin your marriage. And plus, girls have a greater, this was all coming to me at the time, I said, have a greater capacity for guilt. And you may take some of that guilt into your marriage and it may pollute."
Did she believe you, Pat?
Yes. In fact, this is what I want to tell you, and I could cry saying it. But for a guy and his wife who had four daughters in Beverly Hills in the entertainment community in Hollywood, California, and to God goes the glory, not us, but we had four daughters who came to their husbands as virgins. This doesn't happen in the entertainment community.
Did you and Shirley.
Yeah. And I mean, to think that God helped us through the commitment to him in raising our four daughters, beautiful, intelligent, desirable young girls who learn the right things.
For Shirley and me, we've now been married for 50 years. You've been married 57. And it's the most wonderful thing to have that be absolutely exclusive with that one person.
Yeah.
That's never been shared with anyone else.
It's one night on Dick Cavett's show, Billy Graham was on. And he went on ahead of me. And Dick put him on the spot with this really kind of cynical audience he had. He said, Billy, do you still teach the same things about sex before and after marriage, not having sex with anybody but your wife ever? And Billy said, well, yeah, Dick. He said, that's not my idea. That's God's idea, and he hasn't changed it. And he said, let me go a little further. He says, I was a very healthy young kid off a dairy farm when I married Ruth. I was 26 years old, and said she was the only woman I had or ever have had sex with in my life. And the audience laughed. I mean, it was like he told a funny joke. Mm-hmm. And Dick looked at the camera, like said, well, let's go to – it takes all kinds or something. What are you going to do? Now, I follow him, and I'm singing a gospel song that night. And when I sat down, he said, you've been listening to the conversation? Thought he'd put me on the same spot. And I said, yeah, I've been listening. And by the way, I think I understand why your audience laughed when Billy said that about not having sex with anybody but his wife, Ruth. I said, and the audience got real quiet. And I said, today, young people prize commitment in many areas, sports, education, politics, business. They understand you make commitments if you're going to get ahead. But commitment in the most important relationship in life, marriage, is laughable. But I said,
did you actually say?
Yeah. That? And I said, but there was one person that occurred to me tonight that doesn't find that so funny, Ruth Graham. And the audience was very still, and Dick didn't know what to say. He said, let's go to a commercial. Mm. And I felt, and so did Billy afterwards, think that God set us up, shoe and then the next. And because I followed and just said, this one person doesn't find that so funny.
Mr. Boone, is that why—
I wish you called me Pat.
Pat, is that why you serve on the Parents Television Council?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Yes. Because I'm in the entertainment business. I'm in the TV business. Mm-hmm. And it has just given up all parameters of morality. Mm-hmm. Anything goes. You can portray anything on the screen, and it might be a hit. It might get awards. Ted Baer of A Movie Guide proves continually over and over, if you want to make a successful film and make money at it, you do better to make a G-rated film. Mm-hmm. The family can— mm-hmm. That's still true year after year after year.
Yeah, but the ideology is what drives them.
Yeah,
it's not just money.
Not just the money. It's pure acceptance, acclaim, get those awards. Well, just think that about 4 years ago, the Academy, the Movie Academy, gave the Academy Award for the best song of the year to It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. Mm-hmm. And this says to the rest of the world, we used to export our image to the rest of the world, and, and people envied us. Now the Arab world says we're the great Satan, and we give them plenty of reason to say that, because what we export now to the rest of the world is garbage, filth, crime, horror, now vampires, sex, drug, all of it. We glamorize it all. And that says to the rest of the world, this is who America is. Mm-hmm.
You write a column, Pat, and just recently, October 2nd, in fact, of 2010, you wrote a column called Gutter TV.
Yeah.
And you were particularly concerned or angry about a television show.
Yeah.
You know, I've read what you wrote about it, and we couldn't even say it on
the
air.
We can't describe, really shouldn't describe on a family show.
Absolutely
on the radio, what the TV show.
It's set in high school.
Yeah.
So
it's
they
four
can
high school kids.
Influence as many kids as
and
possible.
And promotes blatant sex, and the girls are just as randy and promiscuous as the guys. And what it says to high school kids is, this is fun.
Refer to what Ryan just mentioned of the Parents Television Council.
Well, we continue to, under the guidance now of Tim Winter, try to put pressure on the sponsors. And we've had some success. Mm-hmm. We've gone to some of the major sponsors of some of the worst shows like Nip Tuck, which is filthy and absolutely depraved, and Toyota or other companies. We say, do you want people to think of your product connected to these acts and mm-hmm. these shows? Do you want, when people see those shows, to think, I think I'd like to go buy a Toyota?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is this what the image you want to try to promote? And when you confront them, I mean, the armed forces were a sponsor on Nip and Tuck until we confronted them. Steve Allen was great. He would go to the boardrooms. He'd buy stock in the company so he could get up and bring this issue before the shareholders. And he went to WorldCom when the fellow that founded WorldCom was running it, and said, do you want your phone service to be associated with? And he didn't even know. He said, our ad agencies put our commercials into those shows wherever we get the high ratings.
Well, I have two teenage boys at home right now, and Mr. Boone, it occurs to me that I think we would be called goody two-shoes like you were many, many years ago.
Sure.
Parents have got to take that stand and not be afraid of those labels. Mm-hmm. It's just like you did when
you were
in the industry.
Well, the family, of course, is the laboratory for life. And if parents don't take the responsibility, and of course we've tried, but imperfectly, but if they don't take the responsibility to discipline and to teach and to exemplify what's right with their kids, the kids are going to fall prey in most cases to the influences of the culture, because it's just totally corrupted. Hmm. It's just totally corrupted.
Pat, we're almost out of time. Let me ask you one more question having to do with what you're into right now. You have started a business that has as part of its motive the support of nonprofit organizations, and it has to do with selling
meat,
high quality meat. How in the world did you go from love letters in the sand to selling the best meat that's available?
Well, I give credit to a businessman in Colorado, J.W. Roth, who had built and taken companies public in the past, and he had bought a meat packing facility here in Colorado, and he wanted to expand it, but he's a Christian, and all his family are Christian, and they're mission-minded, and they thought, how can we do what Paul Newman did? And I so admire Paul Newman for what he did. Newman's Own Foods, some 100 products or more, they've raised $300 million for worthy charities, mainly terminally ill kids, and he was casting around for somebody that they thought people might be willing to take advice about buying food from. And so they came to me, and I love the charitable component. I love to eat too. and so we started the Pat Boone All-American Meats.
And then you give a percentage
portion
of
every
profit.
Purchase will go to designated charities, and then we associate with nonprofits. And they're beginning to find that when they send people over to our meat site and they participate in every purchase, right off the top, a significant percentage of the sale goes to the nonprofit, and then to out of the rest that the business gets, JW and I and the company give to other charities. So what we say is that you buy for four and feed 25 more through the organizations worldwide that feed the hungry. Portions will go to feeding the hungry to keep them alive while we enjoy a good meal.
Can we post that information on our website?
I would love it for you to do it, and you'll know that portions of every sale that come through this go to Family Talk. And I think it'll be very significant. It's just patboonemeats.com.
We'll put a link to that.
And how do they find us?
They can find us at myfamilytalk.com, and we will have a link there, Mr. Boone.
And we'll have a big meal of hot, great steaks together, fillets and ribeyes and T-bones, and we'll feed thousands
of people.
Well,
have me to dinner some night.
All right.
Okay. Pat, thank you so much for being here these 2 days. I have loved the stroll through music history and what you have contributed to the culture, and especially your commitment to Jesus Christ.
Well, you and I are two peas in the same pod. Family, faith, and freedom.
That's it.
That's what we stand for. God bless you, Jim.
Come back and do it again, will you?
I will.
And again, we'll have all the links you need to find out about Pat Boone's many professional and charitable ventures, including Pat Boone's Meats at myfamilytalk.com.
And if you'd like a CD of this
fascinating conversation, either for your own collection or to pass along to someone you know who's a fan of Pat Boone or
like
music
you,
history.
Ryan.
It is. Me. I'd love this program. You can call us for that at 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
And here at the beginning of 2011, we want to make sure you're signed up for Dr. Dobson's monthly newsletter. If not, give us a call. We can still get you a copy of this month's, this January letter. Again, 877-732-6825 or sign up online at myfamilytalk.com.
You can also donate at the website if you'd like to partner financially with Family Talk. Thanks for joining us once again. Be sure to tune in tomorrow.